Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. We're always getting requests to dig into specific topics, and one that keeps popping up, which I know a lot of you are super curious about, is finding stillness. So that is exactly what we are doing today. We've got a whole bunch of articles about meditation, mindfulness, the power of nature, all that good stuff. And we're going to really try to get to the bottom of this whole stillness thing. Like, what does science actually say about the benefits of taking a break? And is nature really as powerful as people say it is? Can it really like zap away stress? And how do we even find stillness in this crazy busy world?
That's the big question, right?
It is so many questions, but don't worry, we're going to tackle them all in this deep dive.
It's funny because we often think of stillness as this kind of like passive thing.
Right, like just zoning out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the research is showing us that it can be a really powerful, active way to boost your well-being.
Okay, so let's start with the basics again. Why do we even need stillness in the first place? I mean, life is just go, go, go these days, right?
Okay, tell me about it.
Our phones are constantly buzzing. We're bombarded with information 24/7, and it's like everyone's expected to be on all the time.
It's exhausting.
Totally. So it's no wonder that so many of us are feeling stressed out, anxious, and just like totally disconnected.
Yeah, like you're just on autopilot going through the
Well,
motions.
yes,
And
exactly.
it's not just a feeling, it's a real physiological response. All that on time leads to chronic stress.
Which can really do a number on your
Oh,
health.
absolutely. It can zap your energy, mess with your sleep, even weaken your immune system.
It's wild how much our mental state can impact our physical health.
It really is. But the good news is,
There's hope.
yes, there's hope. And this deep dive is all about finding solutions.
And get this, science is actually on our side here.
It totally is.
Yeah, so many studies have shown that when you tap into stillness, whether it's through meditation, just taking some time for quiet reflection, or even being out in nature.
You actually lower those stress hormones, like cortisol.
Ah, cortisol, the enemy.
Right. But it's not just about feeling less stressed. The benefits go way beyond that.
Okay, spill the tea. What else can stillness do for us?
Well, one study found that mindfulness can actually make vaccines work better.
What?
Seriously.
Like taking a few moments of quiet can actually boost your immune system's response?
Exactly. It's incredible, right?
That is mind-blowing.
And that's just one example of how powerful stillness can be. It's about equipping your mind and body to function at their best.
Okay, I'm sold. Sign me up for team stillness.
Right.
Now, speaking of feeling good, let's talk about nature, because several of the articles we dove into really highlighted just how healing it can be.
Nature is amazing.
It is. Did you know that spending just 20 minutes in a natural setting can significantly lower your cortisol levels and give you a mood boost?
It's like a magic reset button.
Totally. It's like nature's therapy.
And the fascinating thing is that this connection to nature isn't just some new agey trend, you know?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Scientists call it biophilia. It's this innate biological need we have to be around nature.
That makes sense. It explains why a walk in the woods always feels so grounding.
Exactly. It's like coming home.
So how do we tap into this nature magic? I mean, not all of us can just like run off to the wilderness every time we're feeling stressed.
Right, but you can designate specific nature retreats for yourself. Like, it could be your favorite park, a nearby hiking trail,
Ah.
even just your own backyard.
And if you're short on outdoor space, don't worry.
Yeah, even just a little indoor garden or some houseplants can make a difference.
See, there's always a way. It's all about finding what works for you.
Absolutely. And when you're in nature, try practicing mindful observation.
What's that?
Well, it could be as simple as noticing the different bird songs on a walk. Or taking in the vastness of the night sky.
Or just really paying attention to the textures and scents around you.
Yes, just being present. The key is to find those pockets of quiet within nature, those spots where you can escape the crowds and noise and just be.
And maybe unplug from technology for a bit.
Definitely. Give yourself a break from the digital world.
I think we could all use a little more of that. All right, let's move on to something that I know a lot of people have strong feelings about: meditation.
Ooh, meditation.
I know, I know. Some of you might be thinking,
Not my thing.
exactly. But hear me out, because there are so many different types of meditation out there, and they're not all about sitting in lotus pose and chanting, ooh.
You're so right. It's all about finding a style that clicks with you. like mindfulness meditation, for example.
Oh, yeah. Mindfulness. That's a big one these days.
It is, and for good reason. It's great for reducing stress and helping you stay present in the moment.
So instead of getting swept away by all those thoughts swirling around in your head, you're just observing them.
Exactly. Without getting caught up in the drama.
Okay, that makes sense. And I've heard good things about loving kindness meditation, too.
Ah, yes.
Is that the one where you focus on sending out good vibes?
Yes. It's also called metta meditation. And it's all about cultivating compassion and kindness towards yourself and others.
It seems like something we could all use a little more of these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the research shows that it can actually make you feel more connected and less negative.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. So with metta meditation, are there specific phrases you're supposed to use? Or is it more freestyle?
It can be both.
Yeah.
But there are traditional phrases that can be helpful, like, may you be well, may you be happy, may you be peaceful.
Wow, I love that. It's like you're sending out these little ripples of positivity.
Exactly.
Now, what about people who find it hard to sit still?
Mm.
Are there options for them? Because I know I personally...
You're a fidgeter.
I am.
Yeah.
So is there a meditation style for people like me?
Definitely. For those who prefer a more active approach, there's body scan meditation.
What's that?
It focuses on tuning into the sensations in your body, you know, like scanning from head to toe.
Oh, interesting.
It's incredibly relaxing and can help you become more aware of your physical self.
Okay, that sounds intriguing. And of course, there are more active forms of meditation like yoga and Tai Chi, which combine movement with mindfulness.
Absolutely. It's all about that mind-body connection.
Right. So there's truly something for everyone. Now we actually have this awesome guide for beginners in our stack of material.
Oh, that's a good one.
And it says it's important to try different styles, start small, and be patient with yourself.
The best advice.
Hmm.
Because consistency is more important than perfection.
So true. And you don't have to become a meditation master overnight. Even just 5 or 10 minutes a day can make a difference.
Absolutely. Small steps lead to big changes. And, you know, meditation isn't the only way to find stillness. It's not all about formal practice.
So you're saying we can find stillness in our everyday lives.
Exactly. Like you can sprinkle moments of stillness throughout your day.
Yeah.
Simple things like taking a few conscious breaths when you're feeling overwhelmed.
Oh, I love that.
Or even turning everyday activities like washing dishes or folding laundry into mini mindfulness practices.
Mm. So it's about being present no matter what you're doing.
Yes. And that brings us to another biggie. The digital detox.
Oh, yeah, the digital world. It's a love-hate relationship, for sure.
It can be. Our devices can be a major source of stress and distraction. So setting boundaries with technology is key.
Like creating tech-free zones in your home.
Yes. Maybe your bedroom or the dining table. And be mindful of how much time you're spending on social media.
Oh, the endless scroll. It's a real time suck.
It is. Give yourself permission to disconnect and recharge.
I love that. Now, one of the articles we read talked about creating a peaceful environment at home. And I have to say, I'm all about that. Who doesn't love a cozy sanctuary?
Right.
So where do we even begin? What are the secrets to creating a peaceful home?
Well, one powerful step is decluttering and simplifying.
I'm a big fan of decluttering.
It's amazing what a difference it can make because clutter bombards your senses. So a more minimalist approach can actually make you feel calmer.
Yeah, I always feel so much lighter after a good decluttering session. It's like you're creating space, both physically and mentally.
Exactly. And think about bringing elements of nature indoors. Houseplants are amazing for that.
Oh, yeah. They purify the air, add a touch of beauty, and some studies even say they reduce stress.
It's true. And lighting is key, too. Natural light during the day is so energizing. And in the evenings, you want soft, warm light.
It's amazing how much lighting can affect the feel of a room. It's like creating an entirely different mood.
And don't forget about the power of natural materials. Things like wood, stone, bamboo. They can have a really grounding effect, connecting you to nature even when you're inside.
I love that. And what about color? Does color matter?
It does. Soft blues, greens, neutrals, those tend to be more calming than bright, bold colors.
Got it. So it's all about creating a space that feels truly nurturing, like a haven where you can unwind and recharge.
Exactly. And of course, add those personal touches that spark joy for you, you know, photos, artwork, whatever makes you feel happy and at peace.
Love it. So we've talked about nature, meditation, creating a peaceful home environment. So many great tips already.
There's a lot to explore.
But are there like real life examples of how this actually works? Have people actually transformed their lives with stillness?
You bet. We have this collection of anecdotes here from people who have experienced the power of stillness firsthand.
Ooh, story time. I love a good story.
One that really struck me was about this busy executive.
Oh, yeah, the one who was totally burned out.
Yeah, that one. They started incorporating short yoga sessions and mindful walking into their routine.
They said it was tough to find the time at first.
Right. But once they did, it was like those moments of movement became these little islands of peace in their chaotic day.
And it shows that you don't need to make drastic changes. Even small, consistent steps can create huge shifts in your well-being.
Absolutely. Every little bit counts.
And there was that amazing story about the nature lover who rediscovered their passion for the outdoors.
Oh, yeah. I loved that one.
They started going on these regular nature retreats, hiking, camping, just anything to get away from the city.
It was like hitting the reset button for them.
Totally. It just reminds us that stillness isn't just this internal state. It's also about finding those external environments that nourish your soul. It's about remembering the beauty and peace that exists beyond our busy lives.
And that's a beautiful thing.
It really is. So much to think about. But we're just getting started. In part two, we're going to dive even deeper into specific techniques and ideas for weaving more stillness into your everyday life. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back, everyone. Ready to keep exploring this whole stillness thing?
Absolutely. I'm ready to get into the nitty-gritty and learn some practical tips I can actually use.
Perfect. Because that's what we were going to do. Let's dive deeper into meditation and how to make it work for you.
Okay, because I think for a lot of people, meditation can feel a bit intimidating, you know?
It can be.
Like, there are so many different styles and techniques out there.
Right.
Where do you even begin?
Well, that's the beauty of it. There are so many options, which means you can find what resonates with you. It's like trying on different shoes. You need to find the ones that fit just right.
I like that analogy. So let's say you're a total newbie to meditation.
Okay.
Where's a good starting point?
Mindfulness meditation is a popular one, and for good reason. It's all about paying attention to the present moment without judgment.
So, like, instead of getting all caught up in those thoughts swirling around in your head, you're just observing them.
Exactly. Without getting caught up in the drama.
Okay, that actually sounds kind of doable.
It is. It just takes practice.
And what about those of us who are, like, really looking to cultivate more compassion and kindness?
That's a good one.
It seems like something we could all use a little more of these days, right?
Oh, for sure. And that's where loving kindness meditation comes in. It's also called metta meditation, and it's all about sending out good vibes, basically.
So are we talking about specific phrases here, or is it more of a freestyle thing?
Well, you can definitely freestyle, but there are some traditional phrases that people use, like, may you be well, may you be happy, may you be peaceful.
I love those.
They're powerful, right? Yeah. And you can direct these phrases towards yourself, towards loved ones, even towards strangers or people you find difficult.
Oh, wow. Like that person who cut you off in traffic this morning.
Exactly.
I need to work on that one. Okay, now I'm really intrigued. I want to try this. I've also heard of transcendental meditation, or TM.
TM?
Yeah, is that a whole different thing? What's that all about?
TM is a specific technique where you silently repeat a mantra. It's shown to be really effective in reducing stress and anxiety. The key is consistency.
So it's a bit more structured than some of the other forms of meditation we've talked about.
It is.
Okay, so for those of us who are like really struggling with anxiety or feeling super overwhelmed, it might be a good option to explore.
Absolutely.
Now, for people who just can't seem to sit still, there's always body scan meditation, right? That's the one where you focus on different parts of your body, right?
Exactly. You're basically scanning from head to toe, noticing any sensations, but without judgment.
That sounds so relaxing. Almost like a mini vacation for your body.
And speaking of relaxation, there's also guided visualization.
Oh, I love guided visualization. Is that considered meditation too?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's where you use your imagination to create these peaceful scenes or scenarios.
It's like taking your mind on a little mental getaway.
Exactly. And you can do it with the help of a teacher or a recording.
Oh, yeah. Those apps are awesome. Okay, so we've covered a lot of different styles, but the big question is, how do you actually make meditation a part of your life?
Right.
Because, I mean, life is busy.
It is. It's about finding what works for you and your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And starting small is crucial, even just 5 or 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, I think that's key. So many people get overwhelmed thinking they have to meditate for like an hour a day.
Right. And then they get discouraged and give up.
Exactly. It's better to start small and build from there.
Absolutely. And find a quiet space where you feel comfortable, set a timer, and just focus on your breath. And don't worry about doing it right. There's no right or wrong way to meditate.
That's good to hear. And those meditation apps can be really helpful too, right?
Oh, yeah. They offer guided meditations for all levels and can help you stay consistent.
So if you're feeling lost or overwhelmed, technology can actually be a helpful tool in this case.
It can be. And remember, meditation is a practice, not a performance.
I love that.
There will be days when your mind wanders. That's normal. Just gently guide your attention back to your breath without judgment.
It's like training a puppy, right? With patience and consistency, you'll eventually get there.
Exactly. And meditation isn't just about those designated moments of practice. It's about weaving that mindfulness into your everyday life.
So like bringing that same quality of attention to whatever you're doing.
Yes. Whether you're eating your lunch, walking the dog, or even just folding laundry.
It's like turning everyday activities into mini meditation sessions. I love that. Okay, let's talk about the digital world.
Digital world.
It's unavoidable these days. Any tips for navigating the digital landscape without losing our sense of stillness?
Digital mindfulness is key. Set boundaries. Create tech-free zones in your home, maybe your bedroom or the dining room.
Good idea.
Turn off notifications and be mindful of how much time you're spending on social media. It's so easy to get sucked into that endless scroll.
Oh, tell me about it.
But it can really drain your energy and make it hard to find stillness.
So true. It's like a black hole of time and attention. So it's about making conscious choices about how and when we engage with technology, choosing to connect with what truly matters rather than just mindlessly scrolling.
Exactly. And remember, sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is simply disconnect. Give yourself permission to unplug, put your phone away, and just be present.
Like a digital detox.
Exactly. A chance to let your mind breathe and reset.
Oh.
Now, earlier, we touched on creating a peaceful environment at home.
Yes. And I want to hear more about this.
Well, it all starts with decluttering and simplifying, wouldn't you say?
I'm all about that.
A cluttered space can lead to a cluttered mind.
Oh, 100%.
Start by getting rid of anything you don't use, need, or love.
And maybe embrace a little minimalism?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about having less stuff and more space for what truly matters.
I'm a big fan of that. I always feel so much lighter after a good decluttering session. And it's not just about getting rid of stuff. It's about being mindful of what you bring into your home in the first place.
You're so right. It's about being intentional with your choices and surrounding yourself with things that truly bring you joy. And think about bringing nature indoors.
Ooh, more plants.
Yes. Houseplants add beauty, purify the air, even reduce stress.
And what about lighting?
Lighting is crucial. Maximize natural light during the day by opening curtains and blinds. And then in the evenings, create a cozy atmosphere with soft, warm lighting. Dimmers are your best friend.
Oh, I love dimmers.
It's amazing how much lighting can affect the feel of a room.
Totally. Like, you can totally transform the vibe just by changing the lighting.
What about color? Does that matter too?
Definitely. Soft blues, greens, neutrals, those are your go-tos for creating a sense of calm. Avoid those bright, bold colors.
Got it. Soft and soothing it is. So it's all about creating a space that feels like a sanctuary.
Exactly. A place where you can truly relax and recharge. And of course, don't forget to add those personal touches.
Oh, absolutely. Photos, artwork, books. Anything that sparks joy and brings you a sense of peace.
Make your home a reflection of your values, a space where you feel truly nourished and supported. Speaking of nourishment, have you ever thought about finding stillness through food?
I've heard about mindful eating, but I always thought of it as like a weight management thing. How does it connect to stillness?
It's all about slowing down and savoring each bite, really paying attention to the flavors and textures of your food. It's about being fully present in the moment and appreciating the nourishment.
It's the opposite of like mindlessly scarfing down your food while you're scrolling on your phone. Exactly. So put your phone away.
Okay. No phone at the table. So how do we actually practice this mindful eating thing?
Start by creating a peaceful environment for your meals. Turn off the TV, put away your phone, and sit at a table instead of the couch.
Okay, no more TV dinners for me. Got it.
And take a few deep breaths before you start eating to help you center yourself. Set an intention for the meal, like really appreciating the food and the nourishment it provides.
Ooh, I like that.
And as you eat, pay attention to the sensations in your mouth. Chew slowly and savor each bite. Notice the flavors, the textures, the way the food makes you feel.
It's like you're really experiencing the food on a whole new level.
You are. And don't forget about gratitude. Take a moment to appreciate the food you have.
I love that.
The people who grew and prepared it, the nourishment it provides. Gratitude is a powerful tool, my friend.
Gratitude is everything.
All right.
Okay, those are some really great tips. I'm definitely going to try that. Now let's talk about sound, or I guess the lack of sound.
Silence.
Yeah, silence. We're constantly bombarded with noise, but what about embracing natural silence?
Natural silence can be so restorative. It's about finding those quiet spaces in nature where you can disconnect from the noise and just be present.
Like being in the woods or by the ocean where the only sounds are the sounds of nature?
Exactly. Those natural soundscapes have a way of calming our nervous systems.
It's so grounding, isn't it? Like you just feel a sense of peace wash over you.
It is. And there's also intentional silence, where you consciously create a quiet space for yourself, maybe in your home.
Like a designated quiet corner.
Yes. This kind of silence can be so powerful for introspection. It allows you to hear your inner voice.
So how do we bring more of this, like, natural silence into our lives? Because it's not always easy to escape the noise.
It's not. But start by setting aside time for silent walks in nature. Leave your phone at home. Just be present with the sounds and sensations around you. And if you can't get out into nature, create a quiet space in your home. A place where you can unplug and unwind.
Ooh, a little sanctuary. I love that. Now, can sound actually help us find stillness?
It can. Think about listening to calming music or nature sounds. Things like gentle instrumental music, bird song, ocean waves.
Oh, I love those nature sound apps.
They're great. It's all about finding what works for you and creating an auditory environment that supports your well-being. And now, let's explore another powerful tool, journaling.
Oh, journaling. I love journaling.
It's so therapeutic, isn't it?
It is. It's like a conversation with yourself on paper. How does it connect to stillness?
Well, it's a safe space to explore your thoughts and feelings without judgment. You can write about anything that's on your mind, and that can help create a sense of calm and clarity.
I find that when I journal, it helps me untangle all the thoughts that are swirling around in my head. It's like I can finally make sense of things.
Exactly. And there's so many different ways to journal. You can try stream of consciousness writing, where you just let your thoughts flow freely, or you can use prompts.
Like gratitude journaling.
Yes, where you focus on things you're thankful for.
I love that.
It's such a mood booster. You can also use your journal to work through challenging situations or process difficult emotions.
It's like you're giving your thoughts and feelings an outlet rather than letting them bottle up inside.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of incorporating nature into your journaling practice.
Ew, how do you do that?
Try journaling outdoors or bring elements of nature into your writing space. Maybe some houseplants, flowers, natural light.
I love that idea.
You can write about your observations of nature, reflect on lessons you've learned from the natural world, or just use nature as a source of inspiration.
It's like combining the power of journaling with the healing energy of nature. Now, I'm curious about this idea of finding stillness through movement.
Ah, yes. We're talking about those gentle movement practices like yoga, tai chi, and qigong.
Oh, I love yoga.
They're like moving meditations, really.
It's true. You're moving your body, but you're also cultivating mindfulness.
Exactly. They're incredibly beneficial for relaxation, improving flexibility, and creating a sense of presence.
I always feel so much more centered and grounded after a yoga class. It's like it stretches out all the tension, both physically and mentally.
And Tai Chi and Qigong are all about these slow flowing movements and breath control. They're known for their calming and meditative qualities.
And they're often practiced outdoors in nature, right?
They are. It's about connecting with the energy of the earth.
It's amazing how moving your body can actually help you find stillness within. It's like you're creating that mind-body connection.
You are. And you don't have to be an expert to benefit from these practices. There are classes and resources available for all levels.
That's good to hear. Because sometimes those advanced yoga poses can look a little intimidating.
They can be. Start with something gentle and build from there. Remember, this is a journey, not a race.
So true. It seems like there are so many different pathways to finding stillness. And, you know, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'd love to touch on something that I think is really important, which is the power of community.
Community, yes.
We're not meant to do this alone.
Yeah, absolutely not. Connecting with others who share our values can be incredibly supportive.
Totally. Like whether it's joining a meditation group or a yoga class or even just spending time with loved ones in nature.
Yes. Having those meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
Disconnecting from technology. Those things are so important.
It's like creating those spaces where we can be ourselves, be present, and support each other on our journeys.
Beautifully said. We need each other. And that brings us to the end of part two of our deep dive into stillness.
Already. I feel like we could talk about this forever.
I know. There's so much to explore. But don't worry. We'll be back for part three, where we'll delve into even more ways to cultivate peace and tranquility in your life. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to our stillness deep dive. I feel like my mind is already so much calmer.
I know, right? It's amazing how even just talking about stillness can have an impact.
It's true. But we're not done yet. We've still got more to explore. So, what other gems of wisdom do you have for us? What else can we do to bring more stillness into our lives?
Well, one thing we haven't touched on yet is the power of ritual. Creating rituals that honor stillness can be really grounding.
Rituals? Okay. I'm intrigued. What kind of rituals are we talking about?
Think about creating sacred moments in your day where you intentionally slow down, disconnect from the busyness. It could be a simple morning ritual, like waking up a few minutes early, enjoying a cup of tea in silence.
Ooh, I love that. Just sitting with yourself before the day begins.
Exactly. Or maybe it's an evening ritual. Dim the lights, take a warm bath, read a book before bed. Just creating those pockets of peace that you can return to again and again.
And it doesn't have to be anything elaborate, right?
Not at all. Rituals can be as simple or as complex as you like. Maybe you light a candle, take a few deep breaths, express gratitude.
Those are all great ideas. It's about finding what feels meaningful to you.
Exactly. And practicing it consistently.
Consistency is key. So basically, it's about creating those touchstones throughout your day that remind you to slow down, breathe, reconnect with yourself. Ooh. What about creativity? I feel like for a lot of people, engaging in creative activities can be really calming.
It's so true. Creativity is a wonderful pathway to stillness.
Whether it's painting, writing, dancing, playing music, gardening, anything that sparks your imagination.
It can help quiet the mind and bring you into a state of flow.
Flow! That's the best, right? Yeah. Like you're so absorbed in what you're doing that you completely lose track of time.
And one of the beautiful things about creativity is that it doesn't have to be about creating a masterpiece. It's just about the process.
Yes. It's about expressing yourself and letting your imagination run wild. So if you're feeling stressed, pick up a paintbrush, write a poem, dance to your favorite music.
Let your creativity flow. It's such a powerful way to tap into that inner stillness.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are essential for our well-being, sleep.
Sleep. Oh, yes. Sleep is my best friend and my worst enemy when I don't get enough of it.
We all know how important sleep is, but we don't always prioritize it.
It's true. And when I don't get enough sleep, I'm definitely not my best self.
Oh, I feel that.
More irritable, less patient. My mind feels like it's running a marathon.
Sleep deprivation can really do a number on us. Our stress hormones go up, our cognitive function goes down, and it's much harder to feel calm and grounded.
So how do we prioritize sleep in a world that often feels like it's running 24/7?
Well, first, you got to recognize that sleep is not a luxury. It's a necessity.
Right. It's just as important as eating healthy and exercising.
Exactly. Make sure you're getting enough each night. Most adults need 7 to 8 hours. Create a relaxing bedtime routine to help you wind down.
Like a warm bath, reading a book, dimming the lights.
Yes, all those things. And make sure your bedroom is a sleep sanctuary.
A sleep sanctuary. I love that. What does that even mean?
Keep it cool, dark, and quiet. Invest in a comfy mattress and pillows. Avoid electronics in the hour before bed.
Okay, I definitely need to work on that last one.
We all do. It's about creating that separation between daytime activities and nighttime rest.
Gotcha. So no more scrolling on my phone in bed. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we wrap things up, I want to touch on something that I think is really important, which is acceptance.
Acceptance.
Hmm. It's something we hear a lot about these days, but what does it actually mean, and how does it connect to stillness?
Well, acceptance is about letting go of resistance to what is.
No.
It's about acknowledging our thoughts and feelings and experiences without judgment.
That's easier said than done.
It can be. It's a practice. The key is to start by noticing when you're resisting something. Maybe it's a difficult emotion, a challenging situation, or even just the fact that things aren't going the way you planned.
I know. I tend to resist uncomfortable feelings, like I just want to push them away, but I'm realizing that doesn't really work.
It doesn't. When we resist our feelings, they just get stronger. So the first step is to simply acknowledge that the feeling is there. You don't have to like it, but you have to acknowledge it.
And then what? What happens after you acknowledge it?
Then you can explore it with curiosity. Ask yourself, what sensations am I feeling in my body? What thoughts are running through my mind? What is this feeling trying to tell me?
So it's about approaching your emotions with curiosity rather than fear.
Exactly. And as you get more comfortable with your inner landscape, you'll find it becomes easier to accept things as they are.
And that's where the stillness comes in.
It is. Mm-hmm. Because you realize that you're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You're the awareness that's experiencing them.
Wow, that's deep. It's like you create the space between yourself and the things that are happening in your life. You're not so caught up in the drama anymore.
Exactly. And from that space of separation, you can choose how you want to respond. You're not a victim of your circumstances anymore. You're the creator of your experience. And that brings us to the heart of what we've been talking about this whole time, finding that stillness within.
It seems like the stillness we're talking about isn't just about creating quiet moments in our day, but it's about cultivating a sense of inner peace that's always available to us.
Yes. It's about finding that center of calm within ourselves that can't be shaken by external circumstances.
And all these practices we've been talking about, meditation, mindfulness, nature, creativity, rituals, sleep, acceptance, those are all just tools to help us remember that stillness.
They're like signposts pointing us back home.
I love that. Back to that place of peace that's always within us.
Always. Now, as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a few things to remember.
Okay, I'm ready.
First, remember that finding stillness is a journey, not a destination.
We've said that a few times, but it's so important.
It is. There will be ups and downs. There will be days when you feel more connected than others, days when meditation is a breeze, and days when it feels impossible. Just be kind to yourself.
Progress, not perfection.
Exactly. And remember, stillness is not a luxury. It's a necessity.
It's essential for our well-being.
It is. It impacts our creativity, our relationships, everything. It's about prioritizing our mental and emotional health, just like we prioritize our physical health.
So true.
And finally, remember that you are not alone.
We're all in this together.
There are so many people out there who are seeking stillness and inner peace, just like you. Connect with them. Support each other. Create those spaces where peace and tranquility become a way of life.
That's a beautiful vision. Thank you so much for sharing all this wisdom with us. This deep dive has been incredible.
It's been my pleasure. And to everyone listening, we hope you've enjoyed this journey into the world of stillness.
Remember, the peace you seek is already within you.
Embrace it, nurture it, and allow it to guide you towards a more fulfilling life.
That's it for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.